The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We focus at this point in time. It's a matter that we've not been hearing much about lately, but it's a matter that continues. That is, what's going on with this flying fish battle between Trinidad and Tobago and Barbados? Joining us on the phone now to discuss this, President of the All Tobago Fisher Folk Association, Mr. Curtis Douglas. Good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning to you from Tobago.
It's nice
to
have
to the wider listeners throughout the world.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. We haven't heard much in the public domain about this matter. It seems to have gone silent for whatever reason. But what's going on? I know that it's an ongoing issue. It rears its head from time to time. What's the latest with sorting out this flying fish battle, as it's described here in our title, between Tobago fishermen and Barbados fishermen?
Sarish, before I even get to that, I just want to just go back a bit. I was listening to a program this morning, and in the terms of crime, I'm just quite surprised. I just want to say publicly, I make no apology. I'm just quite surprised that, you know, people are still supporting the Rowley government. 8 years ago, when the Honorable Miss Prasad Bisesa was in charge, we never saw that problem. Her leadership was really prolific, I must say, coming from Tobago. I must say. So before I even start with the fan fish, I just wanted to see Tobago's stance on that, because the crime would have been under control, and a life is a life. When someone dies, someone's parents is crying. And under the PNM government, what we are seeing, the Rowley government, we are seeing there is no respect for the people, the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago.
But what is the crime situation like in Tobago at this point? I mean, we hear about the murders, and which are unusual for Tobago.
Well, what happened with the crime situation in Tobago? We are seeing guns getting into the hands of the wrong set of people. And just recently, you would have seen or read where a teenager would have got shot in a bar or a pub, right? And it wasn't, from the information on the ground, it wasn't an attack, the public, as it said, it was like an accident. And we cannot have that happening. Because crime is something that is spread. It's like a disease. And if you don't do something about it now, it shall spread throughout the communities. And we in Tobago are trying to have the antibiotic or the cure for that, right? Because we don't want that sickness in Tobago.
Well,
because we know about Sadish. We know about leaving our house.
Well, I was now about to tell you the very same thing. The last time I was in Tobago, which was in 2019, for the local government election campaign, and just prior to that, the PNM had a couple of meetings and we had broadcast them. Tobago was that kind of way. You leave your house open, you leave everything open whole day, whole night, and people felt that safety and security even then. But it seems from what you're saying that that style of life is fast becoming history in Tobago.
It's sad to say, but it's true. It's true. And this only happens under the PNM administration.
Let's get back into the nitty-gritty of what we're here to discuss this morning.
Business.
Fishermen between... there seems to be this ongoing thing between Tobago fishermen and Barbados. It's become a diplomatic row. We heard some pronouncements from the officials, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, the Barbados Prime Minister, and others, when the entire thing was in the public domain, very, very prominent. But it has died down for whatever reason. Does that mean that the matter has been resolved?
No, sorry to bring the bear of bad news. As a matter of fact, that has not been resolved. And all we would have got, or all you would have heard, and all the statement and rhetoric that was made by both parties was fluff, rubbish, talk, old talk, as we just say, old talk. Nothing had really developed, I wouldn't have even had a phone call or an email to say, well, this is what's going to be put forward and this is how we're going to go about changing it. And this is what we're going to do. And then again, you see, Sadish, you have to, I know for a fact, this is Tobago. This is Tobago. And clearly the authorities do not care anything about Tobago, because this matter not only affect Tobago, it also affect Trinidad. We are one country. One country.
Mm.
But hear what? Hear how it affects Trinidad. It might have processors working out of Trinidad with flying fish, and they will feel the effect as well. So it creates a financial pain or drop in our economy when we're dealing about the Tobago issue with flying fish.
Okay, let's...
Satish,
go ahead.
Understand, and I want the listeners to understand, the fishing industry in Trinidad and Tobago, more so Tobago, is a multi-billion-dollar industry. Multi-billion-dollar industry. But we do not take time off to tap into our natural resources. We rather give it away to other people and study gas and oil. But the oil can coexist with the right structure,
okay,
and management.
Let's get into the nitty-gritty, because I want you to explain the brass tacks of what's going on. So What is the real issue here? What is at the core of this disagreement? Because we hear the allegation that Bajan fishermen overfishing, or they're fishing in Trinidad waters. What's going on?
All right. Now, for years, Bajan been coming into Tobago, well, the territory of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, more so, I have to reiterate, Tobago, in the waters of Tobago. Now, and catching the flying fish. But we would have seen some practices taking place over the years. Now, the flying fish is a key commodity for fish. Now, it is probably the Bajan main staple, right? They even have it on their money as a symbol of who they are and who they represent. Now, we have no problem with that. But the problem that we are facing in Tobago, we have fleets of Bajan boats coming into our waters and capturing the flying fish. And some of the method that they are using, we are seeing where some of them, when they come, they're cutting away nets full of flying fish. And some of our boatmen is running and the engine is getting tied up, cut up with these things. They are damaging the grounds. You are seeing Bajans coming and fishing, and you're seeing all in the tree, all about, all over. They would have sent me videos and showing you the killing. But we have to be more practical. And secondly, there is no data, there is no structure in place to monitor or to gauge or to take some form of data of how many Bajan boats are coming, the level and the amount and quantum of flying fish that has been taken from our resources. And we don't know what else they are bringing. We really do not know. And we are saying from Tobago, they must have some structure. And we also have the outline structure whereby everything can be coordinated and structured. You can just drive into Barbados and do as you please, regardless it's CARICOM or not. This is Trinidad and Tobago. And Trinidad and Tobago have rules. And rules must be followed, and rules also must be enforced. Right? This is our food security we are talking about. Right? When you're doing long line, you need flying fish. When you're catching tuna, you need flying fish. When you're catching dolphin, you need flying fish. When you're catching barracuda, you need flying fish. When you're catching group, you need flying fish. Flying fish is a main commodity in the fishing industry for bait and also for consumption. But it also must be monitored, because remember, there are also existing challenges with global warming, with the heating of the water and all of that. No, flying fish do not lay in Trinidad. Flying fish do not spawn in Trinidad. And we must understand that. So when the Bajans and them come into our waters, they must come under the rules and under respect the rules of engagement in Trinidad and Tobago. So I don't know. These are some of the main challenges that we are having. Mind you, I want the public that the Bajans themselves are not hostile, because it would be quite improper for them to try to be hostile in our waters, but they are not. So I just want to make it clear. And the people of Tobago, the fisher folk, which is all Tobago fisher folk, but acronym ADFA, are not against Bajans coming and, you know, fishing our water. We are not against that. What we are against is the method and the structure arrangement and the arrangement that they could come, fly the flag, and do as they please in Tobago waters. When the Bajan comes and they give the flying fish lights, it pulls all of the flying fish. So when the average Tobagonian with a pirogue goes out to drift to catch a flying fish, it is very tedious to even catch a flying fish. And then we are having what we are calling knock-on effect on the Tobagonian people, whereby the processors are now sending home workers. Not now sending home, they're gone home. It is improper, it's very difficult for processors to process the flying fish now because we're not getting it. What I'm saying, people, when fishermen go out, we are seeing Bajan boat east, west, north, and south. Satish, and I'm talking about five boats, you know. I'm not speaking about 20 boats, you know. I'm talking about a proper fleet of Bajan boats in our waters. And the Coast Guard does nothing about it. The fisheries does nothing about it. As a matter of fact, the Republic and the police of Trinidad and Tobago does nothing about it, about these people coming in our waters and taking on natural minerals.
You know, this is a much more detailed discussion on the topic than we had before, because prior we had two fishermen, one from Tobago and one from Barbados, but they were not able to give us the details that you're giving us about what is really taking place, and that is why I had asked for somebody from the association. But how do we begin to treat with the issue? Because you're talking about the maritime borders, and you're talking about crossing into another territory to conduct fishing, which we know is, you just don't do. It's against the law. Trinidad fishermen have found themselves in a lot of problems with Venezuela, even though we hear that some of them continue to cross the border to fish in Venezuelan waters. And we see what happens to them. They get locked up and they get thrown in jail over there. The Guardia Nacional don't make matters. But if, as you are suggesting, the Coast Guard and the police and maritime and everybody else not paying the attention that they should, how do we begin to fix this problem?
All right, Satish. It's very disgraceful and distasteful by the government of Trinidad and Tobago when I'm here in Trinidad and it's getting locked up for fishing in Venezuelan waters. In Tobago, we have Venezuelans fishing and trying to run men out of their own waters here. When they call Coast Guard, you can't get no boat. There is no boat. Venezuelan is running fishermen out here with their long lines. This is the heart. This is the foundation of what is taking place in Tobago. There is no borders. There is no borders or anyone to police our borders. There are none. So when I see my brothers and sisters in Trinidad is getting locked up by Venezuelans, right? Locked up. And we have Venezuelans coming in here. Yeah? And fishing free. No, I do not know the arrangement with this government, with the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, with the government of Venezuela in the terms of fishing or what arrangement they have. But I could tell you it is illegal to come into someone's waters, flying your flag, and fish, or to do any form of activities without permission, right? You must have permission to come or go into someone's waters and to conduct your business, whether it's CARICOM, whether it's Trinidad and Tobago, Venezuela, Barbados. It is improper and unlawful. That's a reckless and unlawful behavior. First, you must have an arrangement between the both republic or island or country in which they represent, an agreement must be struck. An agreement must be struck. Okay?
Mm.
And in the terms of how do we fix this, Satish? It starts when the Old Tobago Fisher Folk wrote a letter to the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, informing him of the challenges and the abuse of our natural resources of Tobago and Trinidad. Okay? The Prime Minister, that letter was wrote on the 12th of April, 2023. We would have received a correspondent from the Prime Minister, a reply, I should say, on the 22nd of July, 2023. So do the match. You see how long it took him to respond to us? You see how long the Prime Minister... So this is not a matter of urgency. So people going home and people cannot feed their family, and this is not a matter of urgency. And you know what, Satish? The media, like, they're afraid to even touch this. So you find they're going to speak about it and they're going to go sweep, blow the carpet. Hence the reason why. Hence the reason why you're not hearing about it. But at 106.5, see the need and the urgent need to raise this issue, because the drifting season will be coming up in October, and the thing going to be starting over again. And I hope to God that it does not get nasty.
When you... there are so many troubling things about what you're saying to us this morning. The lack of attention by the authorities, first and foremost, is cause for concern, because out on the high seas, tempers can flare and you don't know what could happen. When you talk about fleets of boats coming from Barbados, what kind of numbers are we talking about? How many boats are you talking about?
We're talking over 50, 60 boats, you know. Over 60 boats, you know. When one come, one go in. When one come, one go. 10 go, 10 come. It's like they're playing relay. We hand the bateau. They send the coordinates. Send the bateau. We raise the flying fish.
So here's these boats. When you say they come in teams of 10 boats or how many other boats?
More than 10.
Okay, do you believe that these boats are operated by individuals? Or is it that you have a business over there that has these boats under them? And because the reason why I'm asking that question, maybe one of the factors in the matter being left alone is who's behind this thing. And let's not beat around the bush. Politics plays a great role in all that transpires. If you have somebody in Barbados who is very influential, has a number of these boats, they own a number of these boats, some big, I don't want to say big boy or big, you know, but business interests, we might find out more as to why this matter is not being dealt with in the manner in which fisher folks like yourself think it's being dealt with. What's the case? Would you have that information as to one person on all these boats, how it works?
No, what I would say is that the Bajan fishing organization are more structured than Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there is a budgetary allocation for fisher folks in Barbados, and when the fine fish season is over, the fishing industry basically kind of shut down in Barbados, right? And mind you, Satish, I want you to bear in mind, we are not talking about a boat making $200,000, you know, right? One boat. I'm talking, and even though they are making, let's say, $200,000, I'm talking US here. I'm not talking TT or Bajan dollars. I'm talking US. Okay? This is a multi-billion dollar industry. One boat every season making over 1.8 million TT dollars. One from in our natural areas. But where's the data for that?
We need to take a couple messages to take us up to news. When we get back after the 8 o'clock news, I want us to focus a bit on, you're saying that the season is coming, the drift net season is
October.
Coming. And I'd like to get from you some of the things that the Tobago fisher folk believe need to be put in place to address this matter. That, when we get back, ladies and gentlemen, we continue our discussion on the other side of 8 with our special guest here this morning. That's President of the All Tobago Fisher Folk Association, Curtis Douglas. Stay with us.
This is the Morning Rumble with Satish Mahabir.
3.5 minutes after 8. Let's continue with our discussion. Our special guest this morning, President of the All Trinidad Fisher Folk Association, that's Curtis Douglas. And so, Douglas, for those of you who'd like to join the conversation, feel free to do so. You can send us a message on 306-1065, or you can call us on 627-3223 and 625-2257. Mr. Douglas, before we went to the break, I was asking the question, this season, it's coming to a head in October. What are some of the things you believe that the authorities need to put in place to prevent tensions rising on the waves on the seaside?
One, first to start with, they must have a conversation. They must have a conversation with the All Tobago Fisher Folk and also with the Bajan Fisheries Department, whereby we or the Prime Minister, where we sit down and have that conversation. First of all, it must start with a conversation. But we must have, the All Tobago Fisher Folk must have an automatic seat on this discussion, because we already know what we are being faced with, and we also have the solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we must have what you call a stock assessment. It is very pertinent that we have a stock assessment, so we're going to know where we are, and then now we'll be able to monitor the way forward. Third, all Bajans coming to the waters of Trinidad and Tobago must have a signed agreement. We must have that signed agreement, because the Tobagonians, when we go to sea, we must have a permit. We do pay for a permit. So we have to have a permit to fish in our own waters. And if we are as a consortium of our waters and have to have a permit, I don't see why the Bajan should not have a permit. Thirdly, we must now be able to collect data on how much Bajan boats comes in our water, how much tons of flying fish was taken from our waters. So it must be monitored. And we also must monitor the type of lights they use in order to attract the flying fish, and also the type of nets they use so that it does not kill baby flying fish, because we need that reproduction. And we must be able to set certain fads, meaning fish attracting devices, so that the flying fish could continue laying the eggs and spawning. So we always have that increase or that flow of flying fish spawning and growth and development, and monitored by the people of Trinidad and more so Tobago. They also must include the Fisheries Department in Tobago to have a seat at the table to discuss the way forward and to be able to execute some of these points that I would have just said.
Mm.
So we have the Agriculture, Land and Fisheries Department on board as well. And we also have the Minister of Finance having an input to have some kind of subventions to the fishing department or as such for the budgetary allocation, so that we can now be able to be sustainable, whereby now we could now see by the people and they who are employed under the downstream effect of the flying fish, right? So the people who are boning, the processors, and we have a concern. So they will improve our employment status.
Okay.
So no longer everybody will have to be dependent on the government, because there are that job market, the creation of jobs are there. Because it's the same thing, make no mistake, the same thing that's happened to Barbados. When the Bajans catch the flying fish, they cry to the processors, they process, and then they market. So it's a downstream effect for everyone. And I don't see why we should not benefit as well from that. Okay. Right? And as I said, one of the main things we have to do, Satish, is really a stock assessment throughout the entire island of Tobago.
Yeah, we'll delve into that a bit deeper. Let's see if you have somebody on the phones. The person hung up. Try us back. 627-3223-625-2257. This data collection that you're speaking about, maritime data collection, when it comes to fish stock, is a very difficult thing to do. And it's not something that can happen over one season. It happens from my limited knowledge of how it's done. It takes a number of years, 10 years at least, for scientists or whoever collecting the data to map how much fish has been caught and where the fish was caught. And all. There's a lot of monitoring that goes on. And I don't know if we have the stringent monitoring already of the season to say, well, every flying fish that is brought in would have to be counted one way or the other. Let's see if we have this person on the line. We'll get back to that. That is huge in just a bit. Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Satish.
Good morning to you.
And good morning to your guest, the president of the Fishing in Tobago. Satish,
yeah.
I want to inquire, is there an existing fishing treaty right now between Trinidad and Barbados at all? Could your guest... Anyway. Hello?
Okay, go ahead with your contribution.
I'm saying, Satish, that we have CSME, which is supposed to promote and facilitate the CARICOM movement, etc., and how this can be used to have cooperation and to have between our islands, whether it might be in fishing and etc. And the other point is, why have we not been advocating for some kind of joint Coast Guard system in the whole CARICOM region? I mean, this is not only for the fishermen and so on, to ensure that agreements are adhered to and security and safety. You have drugs and you have even the tourism sector, the inter-island tourism, people moving in for pleasure and so on and so on. So I don't understand what these leaders, when they meet, what they're talking, what they're doing. But I would have thought something like this, I mean, it shouldn't be too difficult. You have a joint Coast Guard within the CARICOM system, and you have so much benefit that can come out of it, in addition to, of course, monitoring that to ensure that people stay within their treaties of agreements, etc. And the whole thing can be moving forward, and we can mutually benefit economically, etc., with the flying fish and so many other things that perhaps we can do in terms of our maritime resources working together and so on. So I don't understand, as I said again, I have to condemn now CARICOM. What they really do, what they're talking, what are we doing? We're just going around and fooling the people over and over, Satish. So I would want to urge your guest to keep raising his voice. We need to raise his voice on these issues until at least for somebody here. Thank you, Princess Tom.
Thank you. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Satish, and to your guest there. I remember a billion politicians saying, if Trinidadians could come into Tobago and build hotels and so on, why we can't come and fish in your water? And that's a simplistic revelation. But what is that Emery Brown doing? He's the foreign minister. What is he doing? You remember the case where two Bajan fishermen were criminally charged for fishing in our waters? And they were released on the promotion of the DVP. So I think this is a matter could be settled between the Bajan Prime Minister and the Sri Lankan Prime Minister. It's a very simple matter to solve. Thank you.
No, I don't know if it is that simple. Is it that simple of a matter to be resolved?
No, it could be simple. It could be simple, but first we must have that conversation. You must invite the relevant authorities at the table, and we must have a discussion. Satish, the Trinidad Tobago fishermen, when we go to sea, if we get caught out there without our license, they order us back into shore. The Coast Guard orders us back into shore.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have Bajans coming into all waters of Trinidad and Tobago, and without any sort of right document. In May, roughly three months ago, one of the Bajans have into difficulties, and one of our boatmen pull them into shore. When we pull them into shore, there were three fishermen on that Bajan boat without any form of identification. They know we pull them to shore, so now when they come to shore, they go to immigration, and I have to make a call to say, well, listen, that is okay. They had find themselves into some difficulties, so we have to show some kind of courtesy. You understand? So a simple thing as that could be rectified by sitting around the table and have a meeting. But when you put the Prime Minister and the Prime Minister of Barbados to sit down to discuss these matters without the relevant people with the interests of the people, you will have what we are having here today, whereby there is no regulation. You don't know if there's any secret deals between the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago and the Prime Minister of Barbados. Because since then, the comment was made by the Prime Minister that Fisheries Trinidad will meet with Fisheries Barbados. From my knowledge, as I stand here today on your station, there is no information or any certainty that that happened, because I'm quite clearly and apologetically that there was no phone call or anything that set us. The only thing we would have received is a letter from the Prime Minister on the 22nd of July stating, thank you, we have received your documentation and we thanks for the information. Nothing to state that this was the way forward. So they're quite clear in the way of corruption and non-structure. We are living in a world we must be structured. And remember, this is food security, the agriculture, the farmers, the fisher folk. We must have some proper structure. And more so, it seems to me, when you have these locusts invading our territory, right? We don't even have any record of what they're taking. No one is going through immigration. No one is going through the All Tobago fisher folk. Nothing of a sort. No one is going to Trinidad, right? Nothing of a sort. So we need to put a stop to that. And that needs, as I said, we must have Fisheries Trinidad, Fisheries Tobago, ATFA, the All Tobago Fisher Folk, and the Bajan fishing industry sit down and work out all of these logistics and move together. We must move as one, since we're talking as CARICOM. Because it then takes anything for the Prime Minister to have a secret deal or cabal deal with the Prime Minister of Barbados and we do anything about it. Because quite clearly, nothing has been done. The media and all free to even touch this issue. But this issue will affect us 3-4 years from now. Because make no mistake, in the next 5 years or so, we would not have the pleasure and the privilege of having our kingfish and dolphin that is so known to our waters and barracuda. We would not be having these staples on our plate. And if we do, we'd be at a much higher price. We need to do something more. And I could speak more about how to create the industry and how to go forward in the industry. No, we are not speaking anything out of time, and we're just speaking facts. That's why I'm this station, because this station brings facts. Hence the reason why I accept the interview from Ms. Brown, because this station deal with the facts, Satish. So I'm here to deal with the facts. It can be resolved. And I said, I give this a year and a half tops, because the first year we take to monitor, to build the structure, next year to monitor and to weigh the assessment and data and stuff like that. And we'll now be able to know a sustainability in the fishing industry. The last fishing assessment that was done, Satish, to see, I think it was 2008. 2008 was the last fish stock assessment. and it was poorly done because it creates a, it costs a lot. But we can get around that. How do we monitor it? Is by how much the Bajan catch and how much we catch. So on each landing site, we have data collecting these things, and we also have people registered as flying fish. Then fishermen, we have dolphin fishermen. We need to now categorize things, right? We need to start to put structure in place. And in putting structure in place, it will create a great vast employment for Trinidad and Tobago and also Bajans. But we also show the need to coexist together. We are not here fighting war, fighting. We are here to work it out amicably by putting the right structure in place. And I'm saying, as all Tobago fisher folk, we've been monitoring this for over 25 years. And we have the answer. I didn't just come to this talk about Bajan, you know. I here also to let you know it can be solved within 3 to 4 years. It can be solved. But we first must have that conversation. And then we put things in paper and put it together with the expertise of ATFA and expertise of the government of Trinidad and Tobago and expertise of the fisheries under the THA. But we must see and feel the need to work together to solve and to preserve and to harvest this multi-billion dollar industry.
Okay, Mr.
Everybody doing it abroad. Why don't we? The world is a copycat world. If it is, if something is working, why don't we do that? Instead of going this work, this role where you have no structure, fishermen fighting against fishermen, next thing men start to kill men out in sea. Let's nip it in the bud now. And we are saying and calling on the Prime Minister and calling on the relevant authority. Let's have this conversation. It's too long. The drifting season is opening October. And when you start taking bread from people's mouth, what's going to happen? It struck violence. And we are trying to omit that before it happens, basically. And we are calling on all the fisher folk. We are calling on all citizens of Trinidad and Tobago, because this will affect our food security. This will affect our food security, not only in Tobago, but also in Trinidad and Tobago, because I have vendors coming over from Trinidad and taking barracuda flying fish by the droves. We provide for our people, but we must have that sustainability, and we must preserve. We must preserve that industry. We must. We cannot go about like it's normal, it's a normal day business. We must put things in place.
Yeah,
in order for sustainability. What happened to our grandchildren and great-grandchildren?
Mm.
They must have this table on the table.
You've given us a lot to consider. There are some things that you've outlined that need to be put in place. So we'll have another conversation closer to when the season is about to begin, which you said is in October, as to whether or not some of the things that we spoke about, that I'm sure that you and your organization have been speaking about, whether some of those are in fact in place. One of the problems we have with matters like these is that the general public, there's not enough engagement, because the general public does not necessarily see these things as important. Because they don't understand how far-reaching the consequences are. You raised clearly that the price of some commodities could go up simply because there's going to be a scarcity if the bait is not there to attract the fish, and I understand how that works clearly. But I want to thank you for being with us here this morning. It was an interesting conversation, worrisome to say the least, about the lack of engagement by the authorities in trying to address this matter. But we'll speak to you again, probably closer to October or before that, if it's warranted, to find out what's going on and whether or not some of the things have been put in place. I want to thank you for being with us here this morning, Mr. Douglas.
It's a pleasure being here, and I challenge you to ask the Prime Minister why is not, or interview why is the Tobago fisher folks and the Bajan fisher folks at loggerhead and nothing was done. I challenge you as a reporter, as a citizen that's very influential in the community and the society, to ask or see how best that question could be posed to relevant authority, and let's see how best we could get an answer. It's a pleasure being on your station, Satish, Ms. Brown, and your whole team, the directors. It's a pleasure to be here in the house. And we love from Tobago for you guys.
Nice to have you with us. And that's where we drop the curtains on our interview.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.